Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of the very first season of Creepy Froggy. My name is Emma, and I run this podcast. I also run a very small book publishing company, Wonder Froggy. At wonderfroggy.com, you can read more about it and about the podcast. The stories are all written and produced by me. They're all fiction. Well, mostly anyway. Some of them may have traces of reality in them, but shh, I won't tell you which parts. Sometimes reality is much scarier than fiction. It's my intention to create one episode every 2 weeks, with a total of 8 episodes per season. This first season is dedicated to graveyards. I have a passion for those. Taking walks in the cemetery is a hobby of mine. Well, let's get on with the show. The story of this episode is called The Dust Collector. I don't usually spy on people, but this time I couldn't help it. I had just attended a funeral and was on my way out of the cemetery to go to the funeral luncheon, which was organized at a different location than the actual burial ceremony, when I noticed something odd. A man, probably in his 50s, balding and dressed in a dark grey suit and tie, walked up to the hole we had just lowered my dead relative into. The reason I stopped to look is that he had been there in the background the whole time during the funeral, but watching from a distance, and I didn't recognize him. He wasn't one of the funeral guests, so what was he doing there? I positioned myself behind a tree so I could look at him without being seen. What I saw was very strange. The little man, he couldn't have been more than 160 centimeters tall and very slender, walked up to the edge of the new grave that hadn't been filled in, and looked down into the hole where the dark brown coffin had just been placed. Then he took out a plastic bag from his trouser pocket, bent down, and grabbed a fistful of earth from the grave and put in the bag. Then he stood up and walked away. I was flabbergasted. Why had he done that? Was he some kind of weirdo collecting strange pieces of death-related items? I looked at my watch and realized I had a few extra minutes to spare. So I decided to follow the little man to see what he would do next. But he just left the cemetery. A bicycle was parked just outside the iron gates of the cemetery stone wall, and he got on it and biked away. Since I had to go to the funeral luncheon, I couldn't follow him any further. But I couldn't shake the weird image of what he had done. For a few days, it haunted me every time I thought of my dead relative. The whole thing had ruined my memory of her, and I began to dislike the weird little man more and more. I wanted to find him and ask why he had done what he did. But how would I find him? I figured that the best chance was to go back to the cemetery the next time there was a funeral there. If he had done that strange thing at my relative's grave, he would probably do it again at somebody else's. So I did something that felt very wrong. I looked through the newspapers to find a eulogy that mentioned a funeral that would take place at that cemetery. Then I went there. Just like the weird little man, I hid in the background and watched the whole thing. I sincerely hoped that nobody in the funeral party would notice me. The strange little man never showed up, but I didn't give up. I went to another funeral, and another. I kept going to funerals as a secret guest until one day I actually saw him. He did the same thing that he had done at my relative's funeral. Waited in the background until all the guests had left, and then went up to the grave to grab some soil and put in a bag. On his way out of the cemetery, I stopped him by asking what time it was. He stopped walking, looked at his watch, and told me the time. I then said something about being sorry for his loss. He looked puzzled, and I explained that I had seen him at the funeral just now. He nodded and said thank you. I then apologized for being curious, but I had seen him put soil in a bag, and would he mind telling me what that was for? He looked at his bag, and coughed, and said he needed some dirt for a plant in a pot on his balcony. I thought that was a bit odd, and frankly, a bit disrespectful, but I guessed that soil from a burial site was quite good for plants. Perhaps he was just very cheap or poor. Then the little man excused himself and left in a hurry. He got on his bike that again was parked just outside the cemetery walls. And so was mine. Even though he had given me his reason for taking dirt from graves, I still wanted to go through with my plan, which was to secretly follow him so I found out where he lived. Keeping a good distance from him so I wouldn't be seen, I pedaled the same route as he did. It took us through that part of town to the next, where there were mainly three-story apartment buildings. He stopped outside one of them, parked his bike, and went inside the main doorway. I hurried after so I could see which apartment he went into. Then I looked at the name on the door. Hans Olsen. Okay, so now I knew where the weird little man lived and what his name was. I should have felt satisfied, but strangely enough, I didn't. Why? Puzzled by my own feelings, I slowly left the building and returned to my bike. I took one last look at the building, and that's when I realized. Hans Olsen's flat didn't have any balcony. No balcony, no balcony flower pots that needed the dirt from the cemetery. Hans Olsen had lied to me. First, he had disrespected not only my dead relative, but also another dead person, and then he had lied about it. I felt two things in that moment: anger and curiosity. Being the impulsive person I am, I got off my bike again and went back into the apartment building. I didn't waste any time being timid or polite, but went straight to Hans's door and rang the bell. I could hear shuffling noises from the inside of the flat, and after a few seconds, the door opened slightly. Hans's face appeared in the gap. He held the door open as close to his body as he could, as if he didn't want anybody to see inside his home. He didn't say anything, just looked questioningly at me. And that angered me even more for some reason, so I snapped. I asked in a rather harsh voice what the heck was going on, that I knew he didn't need the soil for his plants, and that I thought he was disrespecting the dead by taking it. He began to look quite bothered, with the sweat running down the side of his face. And then he asked me, completely out of the blue, if I'd like to go to the local cafe for a cup of coffee, and he would explain all of it to me. I surprised myself by saying yes. So off we went. There was a cafe on the corner of the street. We ordered our coffees and sat down at a table near the windows. Up until then, neither of us had said a word, but then I broke the silence by telling him to start explaining. He cleared his throat and looked awkward again. The bald patch on the top of his head glistened from sweat beads. Then he began by saying how sorry he was, and that he was doing it out of their respect for the deceased. know? I asked. He explained that he read the newspapers every day, and sometimes he would come across very lovely eulogies that made him teary. It was almost like he knew the persons they were about, and he felt like he had to make sure they were never forgotten. His way of doing so was to visit their funerals, take some of the soil from their graves, and keep it until the anniversaries of their funerals. Then he would return to their graves with a bit of their soil and repeat a part of the funeral act. From dust to dust. Sometimes, he said, he would even bring a candle and a rose to place on the grave. The dates and locations of the funerals were to be found in the eulogies. I looked at him in disbelief. I tried to find something in his face, his eyes, which explained such peculiar behavior. What he said was meant to sound noble, I'm sure, but it only made him seem stranger. Then he returned my gaze with insecure, fleeting looks, and I pitied him. He was probably a very lonely person with no real friends, only the dead. I sighed and sat back, leaning against the back of the chair. He excused himself, going to refill the coffee. Apparently he had stayed up late at work the previous evening and was very tired. I remained at the table waiting for him to return. Not that I had much to say to him, but there was something gnawing on my mind. Something he had just said that didn't make sense. By the time he came back with his second cup of coffee, I had figured it out. And it had made me furious again. Again, I didn't waste any time telling him. I must have sounded quite angry, because as I spoke, his eyes opened up wide, making him look like a deer caught between headlights. I told him it didn't add up, what he had just said, because the eulogy for my relative was published after the funeral, so he couldn't have found out about the time and place of the funeral by reading about it in the newspaper. So what was the real truth? He obviously got nervous because he spilled some coffee down his shirt and struggled to dab it with a wet napkin. Then he tried to make a joke, asking me if I would believe him if he had said he was gathering funeral soil until he had enough to mix with water and create a golem. I asked what a golem was, to which he nervously replied that it's part of Jewish folklore, an anthropomorphic creature made of clay that comes alive and can be used for protection, for example. Only legend, of course, but still, perhaps with soil from holy ground it would work. I said that wasn't funny, and nobody was laughing, and would he mind telling me now the real reason? Please. Suddenly the mood changed. He stopped shaking and had a confident look in his eyes as he looked me right in the eyes. Suddenly I didn't feel as sure of myself anymore. He spoke calmly, as he explained that he worked at a funeral home. His job was to take care of the deceased that his firm was given the duty of preparing for funerals. He washed them, dressed them in the clothes their relatives had handed in, and placed them in the correct coffins, ready for their funerals. That's how he knew about the funerals, and that's how he got to know the deceased. And the dirt, well, he got so attached to the dead that he had to have some sort of keepsake of them. But taking an object from them was not only illegal, but dishonorable. And he wouldn't dream of it. The closest he got was the soil in which they were to spend eternity. And he hadn't lied about the flower pots, but he didn't keep them at a balcony, since he didn't have one. Instead, he put the dirt in a pot, planted a flower in it, and kept it at work, where he had first met the deceased and where he liked to remember them. He wrote the name of the dead person on the flower pot so that he knew who each flower belonged to. That way, they kept on living in a way as flowers. I was still angry, but his confidence made me stumble on my words as I asked him why he hadn't told me the truth straight away. To that, he replied that he didn't think I would have believed the truth. I said I still had my doubts, and he asked if I wanted to see it with my own eyes. I hesitated. Was it alright for me to intrude at his workplace? A workplace so different and special from others? But he insisted, so I said yes. We finished our coffees and went to fetch our bikes. It wouldn't take long to bike there, he said. It was closed when we got there. He unlocked the door and we went inside. It was all dark in there. Solemn. Coffins next to the walls. Then he turned on the lights. He asked me to follow him to the back where he worked. There was a coffin there with the lid open. His latest customer. I tried not to look as we walked past it into a smaller room, which was his office. Well, sort of. There were flower pots everywhere, each one with a different colored flower and name written on the pot. If it wasn't so macabre, it would have been beautiful. He stood there in silence, his hands clasped in a somber pose, and his eyes gazing at me like he was waiting for me. And I think he was. He was waiting for me to spot it. And when I did, I froze. One of the flower pots had my own name. I looked at him in disbelief. Was it some kind of sick joke? I felt anger rise up in me again, but couldn't get the words out. He walked up to a desk where he kept a folder. Opening the folder, he flicked through some of its contents and stopped when he found what he was looking for. Then he showed me. It was a eulogy. For me. There was no doubt it was for me. My photo was in it. What was going on here? Hans exited the office, leaving me alone in there with all my questions. He walked up to the coffin, looked lovingly at the woman inside it, and said it was time for her to go. Then he closed the lid. Then he turned to look at me. Walking slowly towards me, he stretched out his arm and grabbed the door of the office. As he closed the door, he said the same words to me, and then it was dark.